Auch euch hat Gott in der Zwischenzeit
God has blessed you in the meantime as well. Today we spoke with Brother Rus about a beloved brother whom we knew from earlier times, Brother Gerhard Krüger, who has gone home. Some older people will remember him from the immediate post-war period. God used him mightily to gather the scattered and to walk in the light that was given to him. We remembered the hours and times we spent together. It was he who gave me the opportunity to speak at the huge conference in the city of Kassel in 1953 as a 20-year-old among a huge congregation. It was he who gave me my first spiritual help, and I remember it fondly. When the time came and God gave more light, I had no choice but to move on. There was no other way. Walk while ye have the light. One must, and this is God's way, always walk with his people, with the light that he reveals through his word. There should not and cannot be any standstill. Those who stand still are going backwards, whether they want to admit it or not. We are not judges. We leave everything to God. The Lord will judge according to the light, according to his word that people had in their time. I remember a married couple in the United States. Was it the father-in-law of him or the father-in-law of her? It doesn't matter who he was. In any case, a man absolutely had to recognize the end-time message. And the people came to Brother Branham and said, "We have done everything we could, and the grandfather just won't." And then Brother Branham said, "He wants to, but he can't. He doesn't belong to this age, but to the previous age. He wants to, but he can't." And so may God grant us grace that we are not hasty in our judgment. Many want to, but cannot, whatever the reason may be. Of course, I know that when I heard it from the mouth of this beloved brother, when he said that Elijah did not die in a car accident, but was taken to heaven in a fiery chariot, it was an allusion to Brother Branham, who was called home 1 week after the car accident. And I just said, it's not over till the fat lady sings. We do not know how you and I will go home one day. And this man in particular, and I do not say this in judgment, I say it with an honest and sincere heart, but he was traveling through Poland and lost control over his car, crashed into a tree, and his life was over. We must not judge. Judgment belongs to God alone, and not only on the last day. That is what most people want. Most people want to leave all judgment to God on the last day. But in the meantime, they are all busy judging everything they can. And that must not be. The Word of God says in James, there is one lawgiver and one judge, and it is one and the same. He is the lawgiver and he is the judge. If there is a matter to be judged or decided, then it is written in 1 Corinthians 11 that each one should judge and examine himself before the face of God. And that is enough. If everyone does that, then that is fine. Then no one has been left out. Then no one else needs to judge. Nevertheless, when I find out when the funeral will be, I will be there. I heard this from Brother Branham's mouth when he spoke about Romans 4 and mentioned, he used the word commentary. He said, when God had the commentary on Abraham's life written in the New Testament, in Romans 4, not one rebuke was mentioned, nothing human, but only the divine things that God did in his life. Let us do the same. Let us leave behind and forget everything that was human. And let us emphasize and keep what God has done. Because in the end, only what God has done in our lives will count. Our own works, whether good or evil, may be taken into account, but only one work will truly count in eternity, and that is the work of redemption that took place on Calvary, and everything else will be revealed by God, as already said, on that day when even the hidden things will be brought to light. Today we all judge according to what we see or hear. Read Isaiah 11 about our Lord, upon whom the Spirit rested. He will not judge according to what his eyes see, nor according to what his ears hear. You can read it for yourselves. But he will judge righteously. And I believe that this is his alone. And as I have already said, if we want to judge anything, then we want to judge the time in which we live and the circumstances in which we find ourselves. The word judgment in our Bible can be used not only to mean condemnation or assessment, but also to mean justice. And so we want to try in every way to be pleasing to God, to live as close to him as possible on earth, to walk with him. And we can only do that, as it is written in the prophet Amos, chapter 3 probably. How can two walk together unless they agree? They must agree, otherwise it makes no sense. Otherwise, they cannot walk together. Brother Rus said that we have visitors. We warmly welcome you. Have any more visitors arrived? God bless you in our midst. And I see two brothers here, next to my beloved brother Paul Schmidt. They must be his two brothers. You are very welcome in our midst. God bless you. Even though we have not known each other, in spirit, we are all brothers and sisters, one family of God, connected from eternity in the eternal love of God. It was now somewhere we were having dinner, and they had prepared an extraordinary meal. It was probably in Karachi. And we were talking to each other, and then it just came over my lips. I said, it's like I'm at home here, and it's as we've always known each other and belong to one big family of God. And that should become greater to us and more precious, that God has a people on earth from all tongues and nations, especially because our brothers come from the Soviet Union. I said that here and noticed it again on my last trip, how you used to see full planes landing in Helsinki, and the hotels were filled with people from Leningrad and so forth. That's how it is now in India, in Asia, in the States there. The opportunity to travel has just come. And we believe in this place that God sets kings on their thrones and removes them, that He determines governments and what is to be done and at what time. And we believe that the gospel of the kingdom of God will be preached to all nations. Now coming back to this Muslim judge, he just wanted to talk to me, and we took our time over a few cups of tea. I must have had 5 in all, because time flew by. In any case, God gave us the grace to recognize that there is one true God who has revealed Himself. And when the question came, he said, I also believe in one God. And then I had brought the big article from the newspaper with me, which said, humanity needs a universal prophet. And behind it was written, the Prophet Muhammad. And then I showed this article at a meeting and just said, even if the world had 1,000 universal prophets, it would still have no salvation, no redemption, no eternal life. And then we got down to business. I said, what the world needs is a universal Savior. I say, He has come. Yes, God helps us there. I also get the right newspapers into my hands at the right time to tell people the right things. And this man who studies the Quran, and because I have also read the Quran, I of course knew where to start, and he thought that was really wonderful. I was probably the first person he ever met who knew about the Quran and could ask him questions that he didn't have answers to. And he just looked at me and said, I didn't expect that. Yes, I say, with me you have to expect anything. And that's how it is. The importance of something lies in whether you have been commissioned by God to bring the word to the people, not fanaticism and not a prophet. We do not preach Moses or Elijah, Paul or Branham. We preach Jesus Christ, the crucified one, and proclaim to the world the salvation that God brought us. But when I asked, in whom did God reveal himself personally? Then it was over. Others have prophets too. Some have Buddha. Others have Confucius. And I say, of course, they all have Confucius, which translated from the original language means confusion. Confucius. I said that all religions have him. But we have the Lord, who has rescued us from all confusion, pardoned us, and revealed his word to us. Words cannot describe what has been given to us. I hope and believe that the Lord, the Almighty God, will one more time grant us the grace to bring humanity, which are actually all, even the Hindus, who have more gods than inhabitants, and there are about 760 million of them, and they have more gods. They say at least two for every inhabitant. It is almost incomprehensible. And then they are also nailed down. And I had one there too. He was a doctor. And I asked him too. I said, which of all these gods you have created the world we live in, the earth, and everything in it? I said, which of them created this creation? Can you tell me that? In English, everyone is on first name terms. That's really nice. It's not as formal as here. And then he looks at me and says, I don't know. I say, then one more question. Were there many or could it have been just one? He says, one would be enough. I say, for me anyway. And the man with his many gods came to the conclusion that he had to say, when I think about it properly, there can only be one God who created all life. I say, yes, that's all we need. One is enough. And so you see how easy it is to pin people down with God's help, never from above. That is something God has given me. He has probably humbled me so much that I can place myself beneath everyone else and never look down on anyone, because that could happen. Here you see someone on a prayer mat praying and doing his prostrations, and you could shake your head at that, but that doesn't help the person. You have to put yourself in the position of someone who is seeking God, and then do what Paul did on the Mars Hill. He says, I have been walking around here and beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God. Everything is pious and you worship, but you do not know what you are worshipping. Therefore, what ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Then he got down to business. He could have said, where is the big hammer? And then we'll put an end to it. No, not at all. He says, the being whom you worship and do not know who and what he is, I proclaim to you. That is grace. You can tell a Hindu this and that and something else, and then he will respond to you or me in much the same way, or to others as well. And that does not help anyone. I thank you for your prayers. And on that day, when the Lord comes, I want to see the surprised faces of the fruit that has been brought in from the rich harvest field from all over the world. Today I had two phone calls, one from South Africa and one from Nigeria. The request is always the same. Come. Not like back then, come and help us, but rather come and preach the word to us. We believe that this is the most glorious time of all. I have said it here several times. There has never been a time on earth when the word of our God has been revealed so clearly, so vividly, in all contexts as it is today. And yet, the same thing is happening today as in the days of Jesus, when our Lord had done great things in Galilee. The scribes said to one another, "Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that he must come from Bethlehem?" They knew one scripture, Micah chapter 5. Why did they not read Isaiah 9, verse 1? The land of Zebulun and Naphtali, the Galilee of the nations, which lay in darkness, has seen a great light. They only needed to read that our Lord also had to preach the gospel on the other side of the Jordan. The prophet had already said so. But they searched the scriptures with blinders on. They had their own thoughts and ways. And the prophet Isaiah said it very clearly in chapter 55, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." The secret in those days and in these days lies in correctly understanding God's work in the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. That is all. It is not how much wisdom one can impart about a scripture, but whether divine wisdom is present and being applied, as Paul did in those days, as Peter did, as James did, to name just three. On the day of Pentecost, Peter said, "This is what God promised through the prophet Joel." He put the matter on a biblical basis. Acts 15, the discussion, circumcision, and back and forth. Peter and John had spoken, and then James takes the floor and says, "All the prophets agree with this, for thus saith the Lord. After this, I will restore the tabernacle of David, biblically arranged. Acts 13, Paul turns from the Jews to the Gentiles and says, "Thus it is written, I have made you a light to the Gentiles, to the ends of the earth." Everything always on a biblical basis. I want nothing else. I want nothing other than a biblical basis for everything that goes on in the house and in the kingdom of God. We don't need anything else, and we don't want anything else. You know, somewhere, it was probably in South Africa, when all those people with a turned around collar were there. And I just had to say to them, you can continue in your own ways and programs as you have done until now, but you can also make a decision and let yourselves be placed into God's program. I say, you must make the decision. And so it is. Not programs made by people, but God's plan of salvation. What did Brother Keir read to us from 1 Peter 5, probably? But then the second scripture stands out even more from 2 Peter 3. In relation to what we are talking about. 2 Peter 3, verse 2, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Peter writes, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And when the time came and was fulfilled, there were again holy men moved by the Holy Ghost, who were able to place biblically what God had spoken through the mouth of the prophets. I rejoice in this, and I know that the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He does not change His ways. How convincing are the first three verses of Mark chapter 1, the first three verses. This is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And immediately after that, there are two scriptures from the Old Testament, Isaiah 40, verse 3, and Malachi 3, verse 1. Right at the beginning of the writing, the biblical foundation is laid down so that people don't just think someone is writing something here. It's not just words on paper. It has been written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, whether prophets, apostles, Old or New Testament, it is one book of the Bible, one Word of God, one Holy Scripture, and everything agrees exactly. We have read further here that things were brought into existence through the Word, and by the same Word, everything is preserved to be consumed by fire. The same God who called the world into existence, who created the heavens and the earth, the same God has said that this earth, with all the works of men that are upon it, will be burnt up. You can read it for yourselves. 2 Peter 3 verse 10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up." This is the word of the Lord. As surely as the mouth of God has spoken, so it will be done. But then we read in verse 13, "Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." This too will come to pass. In Revelation 21 it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth." Everything is already written in the Word of God. The men of God saw the old world in flames, and they saw the new heaven and the new earth. Men of God saw the heavens roll up like a scroll, as we can read in Psalm 102, the last verses, in the Old and New Testament. What are we trying to say? God has spoken. And as He has said, so it is, so it was, and so it will be. No man can change it. What we have to do is imposed on us here and given us along the way. As it says in verse 11, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." Waiting for the fire to fall is of no use to a believer. It will only serve the unbeliever, for at that time things will become very hot. What has been given to the believer? What has been given to us? If you know that all this is coming, prepare yourselves so that you may be taken away beforehand. I can read it to you in Luke 21, for here it is written, Luke 21, from verse 34, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth." We should take heed to ourselves. Here are a few things mentioned. One can indulge in gluttony, drunkenness, and so on, but also the cares of life can choke the precious divine seed within us, and that should not be. God wants to give us grace so that we can cast all our cares upon Him. There was another word that our brother read. It must have been in 1 Peter 5, about submitting under the mighty hand of God. There is a word that James wrote, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Everything goes hand in hand. I would like to read verse 36 from Luke 21. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. There are people on earth who will experience this before the catastrophe befalls this earth. They will be taken away into glory to celebrate the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who can and will escape all that is to come upon the earth. We have the promise in the Holy Scripture for everything, both for one thing and for the other. Whether it be the destruction of godless humanity, Malachi 3, what is it, verse 19? Some Bibles have four chapters. There it is, verse 1. The day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the wicked will be like stubble. And we have heard the call to prepare ourselves. I will read again from 2 Peter 3, verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? We have already gone through this, specifically in Leviticus 23, where the consecration was performed on the vessels in the temple, how they were anointed to consecrate them to God, and how the word holy has a twofold meaning, set apart and consecrated. Set apart for God, consecrated to a service, to be ready. What does the Lord say? Ye shall be unto me a holy people, for I have set you apart from all other peoples. It was a set apart people, a called out people, a redeemed people, destined to stand on God's side, destined to make history in the plan of salvation. It is the same with us, called out, set apart, consecrated to God, devoted to God, who have given up all inner rebellion, all inner resistance, who can agree with every word of God. I sometimes do this when I preach in different countries, and in between I ask the people if they also believe this, and if they do, I ask them to say Amen. Then an Amen comes from the congregation that can be heard. Oh yes, it is just necessary that we be seized anew within ourselves by the Word of God, by the grace of God, and that we go along with it inwardly. So, chosen by God, pardoned, called out, set apart. What is written? Ye shall be unto me a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, we may count ourselves among them. And therefore the exhortation, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? A holy walk is conformity with a holy God, conformity with the holy word of God is a holy walk, not a hypocritical walk, but a holy walk. The Lord says, ye shall be holy, for I am holy. He says, sanctify them in thy truth, thy word is truth. A person sanctified by God is a person imbued with God's Spirit and Word, who lets himself be brought into agreement with the Word by the Spirit, and who, as we said earlier, can truly walk in agreement with God. We read of Enoch, he walked with God. Very simple. He agreed with God. And then it says here, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, and prepare yourselves for it. We could go to several scriptures here, preparing for that day. We have also gone through the two comparisons here. Matthew 24, verses 6 to 8, and then especially verse 8, where the Lord says, all these are the beginning of sorrows, wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines. We heard it again today. Yugoslavia, 25% inflation, price increases, and so on. Everywhere things get expensive. People are at their wits' end. You can believe me when Luke 21 says that there will be perplexity among the nations. It is already here. You don't need to look for it anymore. It's already here. It's just being pushed ahead of us a little bit, because the hour of God is not quite here yet. The moment it is here, everything will collapse. We don't need a Black Friday or a Blue Monday. We only need the hour of the Lord, the hour of God. Then everything will be ready. But there is a scripture in the Old and New Testament. Who among you knows it? Let not the buyer rejoice, nor the seller mourn, for both shall not have it. Who has read this before? Yes, sir. You are all Bible scholars. I am happy when I am among people who have read the Bible from their hearts, who know exactly what is written in it, and even more, who also know or find the connections. Here it says, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, and prepare yourselves for it. We are not preparing ourselves for the day that will burn like an oven. But we know that when that day is near, how near must the rapture be? And it is written, and his bride has made herself ready. So the preparation must come before, and not when the fire falls. For then it will be too late. The Holy Scriptures say that first Lot came out of Sodom, and then the fire fell. Not before. He didn't need to put up a protective shield to ward off the fire, for he was outside. And before the rain fell, Noah was in the ark. And our Lord says in Luke 17, as it was in the days of Noah, not just eating and drinking, but going in, you see, one went out to be safe from the disaster. The other went in to be saved from destruction. Here we have it. Out of the world and into Christ to be eternally safe in Him. I say it again and again. If you want to live for God, you must begin today. If you want to start tomorrow, it may be too late. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. As I said at the beginning, I was glad that as a young man, I was given the opportunity to proclaim the precious Word of God. I will never forget the day at the customs office in the city of Aachen, on the border between Germany and Belgium, when I met the man who has now gone home, when everything here seemed to be over and the bombs had fallen and nothing but rubble and ashes remained. This man said to me, addressing me by my first name, "Ewald, whatever you do in life, do one thing, to the end. Preach the Word of God, for that is what you have been called to do." When friends who were close to me told me everything else, this man, who had been distant from me for years, he said to me, "Promise me that you will not stop preaching, because that is what God has called you to do." Can you see it? There are people with heart, and sometimes there are those whom God uses to say the right words at the right moment to help a person in despair. I believe that God should also be able to use us for this purpose. Anyone can put anyone down. May God make us people who can lift up the weary, bring comfort to the discouraged, so that the feeble knees and the weak hands are strengthened and lifted up to continue serving God. Let us encourage one another. Allow the Lord to give us new strength and move forward together. For this is what we have been destined to do, to hear God's word. And if we are to hear it, it must also be preached. So we need both, the proclamation and the hearing. May God truly grant grace to all of us, young and old, great and small, whoever we may be, from all nations, peoples and tongues. May God grant us grace to serve Him. I am just reminded that my brother Arthur is like my second memory here at the Mission Center. And he said, "You announced at the time when that young brother, Beat Münch, had his accident in Switzerland, but you forgot to say that God performed a miracle on him, and he was completely healed by the next meeting, sitting among the audience." And my brother said to me, "You have to tell the people that we prayed and God answered, and that's just part of it." I am glad that I have such brothers in the flesh and in the spirit. And I think I said this here, Sister Lambrie also came home on Monday. Yes, sir. God just granted grace and answered our prayers. She is doing very well, says Brother Schmidt. Amen. Praise be to God. Oh yes, if we had more faith, we would see more of God's glory. And anyone who is still struggling inside, come forward. and here your struggle will come to an end. Here God's victory shall be revealed. Here it is preached, and here it shall be experienced by the grace of our God. We would be fools if we only preached God's word and did not experience it. If what is preached is true, then it must become true through experience. And by the grace of our God, let us set out to experience the Lord in you, to take Him at His word and say, Lord, I cannot help myself. You are my help and my salvation, my healing and my everything. Here I am. Take me, and He will make everything well. Do you love Him with all your heart?
Amen.
Amen. How often did Brother Branham ask this question? Do you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind? And so it is written, the first commandment in the New Testament, you can read it for yourselves. It says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Has it come to this with us? We still have to get to this point. By grace, we get there. Praise be to the name of the Lord. Amen. Let us stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you together from our hearts for the full salvation, for the grace that has been bestowed upon us, for the privilege of being able to believe as the Scriptures have said. Faithful Lord, now we want to experience what has been promised to us in the Scriptures. Beloved Lord, you have provided for everything. You have given prophecy. You have given promises. You have arranged everything for every area, for the church, for Israel, for the world, for everything. Lord, we thank you. You have forgotten nothing. Today we are here to thank you. Beloved Lord, I want to be seized anew, overwhelmed anew by what you have done. Once again, we thank you for your precious and holy word, which you have illuminated and revealed fresh from the throne. You have always spoken through human lips, but always inspired, illuminated, and revealed by your Spirit. It is still so today, O Lord. You use lips to speak, but you are the one who speaks, who acts, and who reveals. We thank you for this. Bless our visit in a special way. We pray for our brothers, from our beloved brother Paul Schmidt. Bless them, O Lord. Bless the land in which they live. Let your light shine from east to west, from south to north. Lord, may your people not perish for lack of knowledge. May you grant grace that the bright light of the prophetic word may still shine everywhere. Beloved Lord, in this prophetic age, you have graciously given us the prophetic word. You have destined us for this. We thank you for this. Beloved Savior, bless also all those who have heard the word in the past weeks and who are now carrying it back to their cities and towns. Lord, be with them. Be with us. And I ask you, as you have chosen Jerusalem again and are allowing your people to return there, because you have promised and determined it so, so let us return to you, to the beginning, to the word that began in Jerusalem. Lord, and to the same confirmation of your word, to the same experiences, O Lord, may the end be like the beginning. And since we have found grace before you, let the end be even more glorious. O God, come to meet us and help us. Bless all those who are still struggling within themselves, all those who cannot help themselves, but who have a desire to serve you. O Lord, walk among us, set the captives free, loose everything, O Lord, break every prison, reveal your power and your glory for the sake of your name. We also bring all the intercessions before you, including our dear sister, who is returning to Czechoslovakia. Bless her. Give her courage and strength. Take away all her fear, whatever wants to sneak upon her. Take it away, Lord. May she return full of confidence and tell others there of what you are doing. O Lord, we entrust all to you, including our young brother who has come here from Poland to visit. Bless him, O Lord. Bless him. Savior, bless us all. We are entrusting the weekend to you and ask you to be in our midst and bless us from the riches of your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.